football on off the ball.
Once the fallibility centre sets in, once age starts to catch up with him, once Stephen Hendry's there, Steve Davis rolling back the years is one of the great things in snooker. Just because he was old and, as, you know, to use John's phrase, had exposed his feet of clay.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Sounds almost as good as the sound of your bet on Liam Rossini being the manager next, when is it? 2028?
Next February.
Yeah.
What's the bet on the bet?
1,000,000 to 1 at this point. That man is a dead man walking when it comes to that gig. So look, their next game is an FA Cup semi-final where they are heavy favourites to go through against Leeds United. You can get 9-5 on Leeds to go through, by the way. I'm not recommending, you know, stocks can go up as well as down. Past performance, no reliable indicator. But this Chelsea team are stuck in a moment that they cannot get out of. And there, as I said, beaten 3-0 last night, if you missed it, if you went to bed. And it was still only 1-0 or 2-0.
Bono called this a quarter of a century in advance. And it is true for Chelsea. I don't think they're favourites against anyone in the Premier League at the moment. They might give Wolves a game. Possibly get nick a point at Turf Moor.
They were actually better against Man United than
they were, and that's why he was so exasperated.
And the
Liam Rossini.
So
we can hear from Liam Rossini, can't we?
Carl Dillon was in the comments yesterday, and I meant to mention it. He was like, people's pure scoreboard journalism, they hit the frame of the goal a load, and they were way better against Man United. And I checked the XG, and it was like 2.6 to 0.52.
He was also ensuring, he mentioned, that it wasn't us necessarily, because we are talking about Chelsea.
We should get into the whole scoreboard journalism sometime. I think that sometimes the result actually matters.
Sometimes it does.
You know, sometimes the result really matters.
It certainly matters.
The whole point
is
we play the games to win.
It was both results and performance last night, Jared. And that's why we're going to hear from Liam Rossini so early in this show. Earlier than usual. Take it away, Liam.
In many respects, did that feel like the worst of the lot in terms of the performance?
By far. I was unacceptable. In every aspect of the game, unacceptable in attitude. I keep coming out and defending the players. That's indefensible, that performance tonight. The amount of the goals we conceded, the amount of duels that we lost, the lack of intensity in the team. And something needs to change drastically here right now.
What have you said to the players? Why do you think they put that performance in?
Why? We need to look in the mirror. I need to look in the mirror, but I can't keep coming out here defending some of the things that we're seeing. Manchester United, genuinely, the result wasn't there. Felt we turned a corner, but the general attitude, spirit was lacking. Determination, maybe 3 or 4 out of the 11. That's nowhere near enough for this club. It's nowhere near enough. I can't come out and lie. I'll tell the truth. That was an unacceptable performance in every area.
Brighton ahead of them now on the table.
Brighton ahead. Brighton have won 6 from the last 8. They're up to 6th. Chelsea had 1 shot in that first half in total, which was off target. They had 4 touches in the Brighton box. And apologies to Fulham for yesterday's comparison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I looked at that Chelsea side and it is poor. Now, they do have players missing Chelsea. I'll grant you that. They have Cole Palmer absent. There is no Estevao.
Yeah. It could have been 5 or 6 last night. Like 3-0 is pretty flattering for Chelsea. Robert Sanchez actually had a pretty decent game other than the pass he gave away, which almost led to a goal.
Talibak cleared off the line.
Yeah.
But he made a good save before the first goal. I mean, a save after that again.
He made some great saves, yeah.
But if you watch this game in its entirety, where's the Chelsea attack coming from? If you watch the highlights back this morning, you will not get a Chelsea highlight.
No.
You will get Robert Sanchez saving or Brighton scoring. And 3-0 is the least that Brighton should have got from that. So they're in big, big trouble here, Chelsea. Can you arrest the decline here in the FA Cup semi-final?
Can you? You can, yeah.
Classic Chelsea, right? Imagine they won the cup.
Yeah.
They could still sack Rossini.
Oh, well, I think they can't do anything but that. I mean, if you win the cup and you give them a stay of execution, it's classic bad management that Manchester United fell into the trap of.
What are the Dubs looking at doing at the moment, right, to help out Dean Rock while Joe Brennan's away? Pat Gilroy potentially coming in? Do they really trust in the future and potential of Liam Rossini? do they bring in someone senior to help him for 6 months? I know the answer to this. Of course not. They don't do this in the Premier League. They don't do that level of football. They were never going to bring in someone. It's the most patronising move. No one's going to take it. But could they actually do with a mentor?
Ireland did.
Ireland had a ticket, a joint ticket of Stan and Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
But as it transpired, Bobby Robson wasn't around that much. I'm talking about a guy who's going to be there every game.
Who's going to, give me an example. For example. John Terry.
No, if they brought back, who works wonders on an interim basis at Chelsea?
Avram Grant.
Go sitting. It's been a while. A decade plus. But someone like this with seniority coming in and be like, look, you have all this, right? This is what you need to improve. They did a series, actually, about 20 years ago where Big Ron Atkinson went in at Peterborough United to help out the manager. But the problem was, of course, that the players eventually will start going to the more senior of the two. Yeah. So you have to take a lot of courage and self-belief to have someone more senior come in to help you along with the job. If they actually believe that Liam Rossini is the future, because why did they appoint them? Why do you think they actually named Rossini as manager? What do you think the logic was? Is it just because they have a relationship with Strasbourg? Can't just be that.
They own.
It can't be convenience.
They own. He's on the staff. So they have a farm system where their plan is we're going to farm players out and they'll get better and increase in value and then we'll sell them and we'll get better coaches because they'll go and cut their teeth and they'll be staff members. And we won't get given out to by our manager in public for relying on the evidence that the player was unfit and that we were damaging our assets. And that's how they fell out with Maresca because he was like, I couldn't pick the team I wanted to because some doctor was texting saying, get him off. And he was like, no, Liam Rossini will not do that because he's a staff. He's a company man.
They hired him as a yes man.
Yeah, essentially.
So the owners feel like they're really the managers themselves, that they're actually running the team.
They're playing pro evo.
No, so how and they should have for 2 years in the noughties, they should have over the other one. How do you think
they have an age? They'd be like, what is FIFA? Go on.
How do you think that would go? Right. So if they're the controller controlling Liam Rossini, how sustainable is that? Like, they must have had a plan for this guy. They must have known that this guy is junior. He's inexperienced. It's a huge leap that he's taken from his previous managerial experience to a club like Chelsea. They had to have known that this was going to be bumpy. So are they really willing to cut their losses this early, being like, okay, this is another mistake. Let's go again.
Yeah.
If they actually want to fix this, the guy seems like he needs help.
Well, sorry, like he needs help. I don't think that's true anymore. I think the guy seems like he's out of his depth, which is different.
But what's the difference between being inexperienced and out of your depth?
Well, he has not shown any evidence that he can manage his way out of the situation. He managed them into the situation and you can't manage them out. And even if he wins the cup, I won't believe you. Like, that's not enough evidence. I think, from what his former teammates are saying, he has not been authentic to his true self. And that has come across. That's the bit where he could be a really smart fella and maybe he goes away from this and learns and gets a job slightly off Broadway and comes back and is like, yeah, look, that was just a period where I couldn't turn down the opportunity because how often am I going to get the opportunity to manage a super club? It turns out never again. But actually, I'm a really good manager at a Premier League team after he goes away and comes back. Like, I think he's to be commended for taking the Strasbourg gig and doing relatively well there, right? I mean, I don't know how well he did. Again, blue coat money slushing through the system is pretty useful. But they need a better manager.
Yeah, there's probably hints as well that he's starting to lose some of the players. Like the stuff with Kukure and Enzo, even though like it wasn't that significant, they just kind of said they wouldn't mind going to other clubs at some point in their career. You're seeing your players, two of your most important players, generally shouldn't be saying those things if they want to stay at the club. So that is, it's certainly not a positive sign. And if they're, second or third in the table and they're going well, they're on a good run of form, they probably don't say those things. So, I think they need someone that, a vibes man is thrown around a lot these days, but someone that'll steady the ship. Just see the rest of the season.
Vibes man is for spring, it isn't forever. It's just for spring.
Yeah.
Who's Chelsea's vibes man?
Maresca would have been a good manager who they should have stuck by and worked out those issues. He had obviously reached a breaking point when it came to interference and team selection. And look, maybe, I don't know, I would tend to err on the side of the player's well-being, but he couldn't take that and probably thinks that the Pep job is available and he's going to be in the mix for that. And so therefore, that's a much better situation. Who's their wise man for the rest of the season? Who's their wise man next year?
Get them out of this hole that they are currently in.
Well, this hole is like a...
They don't have a go-to.
The plane crashes into the cliff.
Someone's sounding for Gary O'Neill.
Did they get your man, I had to look his name up because I forgot, Callum McFarlane. Remember he took one game.
He did really well, you know. He got a point against Man City.
Just give him the reins for the rest of the season. He did all right.
I wonder if they borrow Frank Lampard for 6 weeks and let him go back to Coventry again.
Your season's over.
Exactly.
Chelsea is Frank Lampard's managerial kryptonite, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Keep him away.
Yeah.
They won the championship. Revisit that. They actually won the championship last night as well.
Yeah, revisit that in 15, 20 years. We'll try that again down the line.
This is a question we asked yesterday about Michael Carrick, right? So you said if Carrick gets offered the gig full time this summer, he has to take it.
Yeah.
Because he may not get an opportunity again. And in hindsight, you're saying the same thing about Liam Rossignol. You got to take this Chelsea position.
Well, look, he might have been in a position to say, look, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for this. But they would have been like, well, what's the point in you doing all this stuff? Like, and maybe he was pressurized into it. You know, there's a push-pull there. Like, you are getting a massive contract and a massive increase and the opportunity to work with some of the world's best players. Like, I would push back on the apologies to Fulham bit. Fernandes and Caicedo started in midfield last night alongside Romeo Lavia, and Pedro Neto played. And, I mean, Fofana, okay, his injury problems seem to have robbed him of the things he's best at, but all of those players are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, no, I was only joking about apologising to Fulham. Like, of course it's a good Fulham team. But it actually
is. Chelsea.
It actually is a good Fulham team.
But it's a really good Chelsea team.
But it's not, though. It's a really good mid-table team.
It's not.
It's not. Like, their midfield is very good on paper. It's very good, right? Pedro Neto, when he was at Wolves, like, Pedro Neto was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. He transferred that. But I don't think their defence is up to much at all. And I'm not unique in thinking that. And I think their goalkeeper's dodgy. And I think that brings you right back down to the mid-table area. I think on paper, when everyone's fit, like, yeah, it's a good team. And they've good options out wide.
I do think if they signed, say, Emi Martinez, that the team would suddenly be brilliant.
But you see, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they actually switch a few things around here. Get a goalkeeper, get a few defenders, get a recognisable defence.
Well, two defenders who stay fit. Two centre-backs who stay fit.
The problem in the meantime is, like, keeping hold of Enzo, because he's going to want to go. And get
I'm out on Enzo. If your captain is like, yeah, please, 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 Real Madrid, sign me, please. I'm like, off you go. And also, there are some other issues there, you know?
So Cole Palmer seems to be staying around, right? They're going to keep hold of him.
I think him to Man United was, Dion Fanning was floating that the other night on the show. He was like, he's been a constant drumbeat.
He grew up as a United fan.
And also, they need to sell players. Like, they're losing historic amounts of money. I don't know if you saw that 10-page report that came out about how the debt has all been built up and how it's funded. It's like this kind of weird mezzanine style debt that, you know, that always worked out before, didn't it?
Yeah. Do you think if Cole Palmer goes to United, he's the star of the team?
No.
I think they'll sell Bruno if he goes.
I think there's a lot to be said. Like, so would you rather be the star of a troubled club or one of a handful at another?
Well, that's about your ego, right? One of a handful is the correct answer, because you're going to win
more. Celebration. Like, there is a brand there to protect.
Which he stole from Morgan Rogers.
He is the star man. Did Morgan bring that up, actually?
He does, yeah. He said it.
He didn't trademark.
My first.
It was his ruthlessness.
Stop scoring goals.
He's not a dickhead.
Stop scoring goals, not a dickhead. It's the actual literal both ways to look at that.
Cole Palmer has been poor this season, though, hasn't he? Yeah, he hasn't been good.
I have a jury that is out.
Yeah.
On Cole Palmer.
So does he get a move? Does he get a move to Manchester United at the minute?
I think you take him because his brand is so good. Like, it's all Cole Palmer. Yeah, he's class.
Sorry. The other thing about the United stuff, all the speculation at the moment, it's all transfers, because obviously the football last night was relatively interesting, but only relatively interesting. And the Man United hierarchy are signing players to play a specific way with their 4-2-3-1. And like, No, just assemble a bunch of good players and let the next manager decide how he wants to play. What if it is Unai Emery and he wants two tens and two sixes?
Well, maybe if they're assembling that maybe Carrick is getting the job.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like
they're tripping that information to us. Well, Chelsea went to a 5 last night, of course. It didn't work at all. So look, we don't usually play post-match interviews, but that is the type of one that's your last. That is usually your last when you talk.
Do you think they'll get? It's a 0%. Or sorry, it's bigger than 0% chance that he won't be the manager. But do you think it's?
Well, listen, I have a horse in this race.
Possible,
as you know,
or probable.
So if I can keep the PR going at all on Liam Rossignol,
full fiver.
Any
way
that Chelsea hear about this, about me talking about the potential of Liam Rossignol, then that's great. That hold on to him, see what happens to the boy. Right, give him a summer. You know, he came in mid-season.
Do you think it's likely he is the manager next week? At the weekend for the game,
I don't know. I'm weirdly in a place right now where it's like I'm actually not too sure about this weekend.
Well, because you just said you think it's summer. That's stereotypically the last interview that a manager gives.
Let him sit a
few
games out. Put him on leave. Get him some help.
Put him on leave.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Get him some help.
Take reconvene next season.
It's called sacking.
Yeah. No. Put him on leave.
Yeah, but
he's still with the club.
Yeah, but
let him go to Ibiza, like in. Party his troubles away and then come back.
Your man slot hair down.
Is worried.
Go back to being yourself. He's lost himself. Take a few weeks out. We'll get the boy in again, Callum.
Callum, yeah.
He'll win
what if Callum wins the FA Cup?
We do some newspaper headlines. Pep's pop at Rue. He hits back over stupid criticism. Pep Guardiola's hit back at the stupid criticism of Manchester City's celebrations after beating Arsenal. BBC pundits Wayne Rooney and Danny Murphy said the full-time whistle scenes at the Etihad on Sunday were over the top. I think it was deliberately provocative, right?
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah. But Man United had a big thing in their golden era under Alex Ferguson about like being ostentatious in the celebrations. It was a thing. It was pronounced. You're rubbing it in their faces. Fans X-rated Liam Rant. Funny enough, the Chelsea fans noted for their grace and patience. Bucking the stereotype. Good as new. Cobinet's bumper deal in amazing United turnaround. 5-year deal. $140,000 a week. It's reasonable money. $140,000 a week. It's not like, you know, 5 years ago, Kobbie Mainoo signing a new deal would have been $250,000 a week, right?
Yeah, 140 is the old 40 a week.
It's good. It's like, but it's great for Man United that they're not, like that's, I think that's what Aston Villa were paying Luca Dean when he signed from Everton.
Hmm.
It'd probably take young Kobbie Mainoo. Now, Luca Dean's been...
Doesn't it go to show, though, how much luck plays a part and how well you're going to do in football, right? The previous manager at United didn't have Mainoo at all.
Yeah.
At all. And also, he couldn't get rid of him. He couldn't go. He couldn't let him go. He wasn't going to go. He wanted to go on loan and said, no, we're going to hold on to him. He's the future of the club. Amorim says, well, apparently he's the future of the club in press conferences. The guy didn't have him at all. His brother was out campaigning for him.
Yeah.
Looks like it was all over for him. New manager comes in, new contract arrives. It's all about who manages you. It's total luck, like.
I want more Pepe's Prem Summit, as he tells Stars, not to waste win over Arsenal with slip up at Burnley. So... that's Guardiola. This is his press conference yesterday ahead of the game at Turf Moor tonight. Leaky Blues are cut down again is the headline on the Brighton 3 Chelsea 0, and no pros to Conn's loss. Barney Rock has delivered a stark warning to Dublin, insisting losing Conor Callaghan is the equivalent of Kerry being without David Clifford. It's worse because there's no supporting cast. Kerry might be able to survive a few games without Clifford, especially at this stage of the season, but Dublin without Conn suddenly look shorn of their magic. Chelsea turn air blue. Fans target Rossignol with X-rated taunts after latest defeat. And yeah.
Do you know who's calling here in the comments for the vibe man? Is Claudio Ranieri.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. Just for 3 weeks. He's got a gig though, doesn't he?
Ranieri brings us to
he's got a gig.
The segue, of course.
Leicester relegated to League One 10 years after top flight title.
10 years after Andrea Bocelli serenaded the world. Leicester City, like if you were a Leicester City fan who went into a coma in the summer of 2014.
You love your comas and your...
Right? And they woke up now.
Did
Did something happen to you? Did you see something recently? It's like,
I think
it's just a Ranieri, great way to start from zero again.
I think Ranieri is a senior advisor at Roma, I think, at the minute.
That man has had a lot of jobs even since Leicester. So Leicester down to League One, they got relegated, right? They drew 2-2 with Hull last night in the Championship.
Yeah.
Quite amazingly, right, Leicester, this is a terrible season, like possibly, you know, the worst in their modern history anyway. They're, one of their players has won the Championship Young Player of the Season.
So, you know.
Jordan James.
A single Welsh green shoot, yeah.
Swings and roundabouts.
Just Jordan James guy. You know,
good news and bad news.
When David Brent.
What does that picture look like when he's posing with the award?
This is David.
What's Brent. The good news? Well, I got a promotion.
I should have started with the bad news. Though it's good news and irrelevant. So, this guy, Jordan James.
Are you laughing because you haven't a clue or are you laughing because it's...
No, I get it. David Brent, yeah.
He's 21. He's 26 caps for Wales. He played for Rennes. And he's had a great season with Leicester. But they're down, right? So this is the lowest Leicester have been since the 2008-09 season. Our dear colleague Matthew Brennan sent on a number of stats here concerning Leicester. I haven't read these beforehand. This is a live reading. Leicester City have the biggest wage bill in Championship history. Compare that to Coventry, who are winning the league with just the 20th biggest wage bill in the league this season. That's something.
Yeah. Not surprising at all.
Yeah, it's not surprising. Like, if you think about it, it's just been wild. Like, it's never been consistent for Leicester in the last decade. So, remember Nigel Pearson? Remember him?
Yeah.
Just kept them up in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. That's the season where he calls that journalist an ostrich, isn't it? He must be an ostrich.
Nigel Pearson?
Yeah. It was great. Like, real, real kind of like... not even passive-aggressive, like aggressive kind of PE teacher vibe off Nigel Pearson. Like, he's a real... Yeah. There's real, like, real dark history to him.
Claimed to have, like, scared off wolves in the Carpathian Mountains in his summer holidays. He got lost trekking and suddenly got attacked by a thing of wolves.
I love that. I like that. Though. That's a redeeming story for him, I would say.
And he
had a barney with David Mitre, didn't he? Maybe he's just, like, choking players in the sideline. So Nigel Pearson, anyway, he did it. Look, he did his magic, obviously. It worked, and he kept them up. And then Claudio Ranieri comes in. Do you remember the reaction to that appointment in the summer of 2015? This guy's finished.
Yeah.
Get Ranieri in. And then they sign a guy called N'Golo Kante.
Yeah.
And initially, Kante plays on the left-hand side of their midfield, and he's in and out of the team. Imagine that. And then they put him in centre mid. Well, let's see what this guy can do.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
Danny Drinkwater.
Oh.
Yeah.
Danny Drinkwater, I think he works in a different business now.
He works in a building site, yeah.
I think it's better than that. I think he owns it, doesn't he? He owns the construction.
Yeah, yeah. I swear to God, I've seen him in a high viz.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. You get the photograph.
No.
I got my hands dirty, and then someone comes away.
I will be pretty proud of this.
And you walk off and get into your limo and go.
Yeah, he's not like your man in office space. It's like, I got this job in construction. It's his thing. There's no way he needs to do that. I would say. Remember, he played for Aston Villa.
What's wrong with doing that? Like, what if he wants to do that?
He emergency signed for Aston Villa.
It was terrible. It was the start of the Leicester to Chelsea.
Hard hat on.
Yeah, that's his company.
Offloading of.
I always felt that Leicester
players were too
if
much.
They could possibly have done it. They would have been as well off taking the following season off after winning the Premier League because there was nothing they could do after that.
Would you feel alive as a Leicester fan?
Yeah, totally. This is the Burnley question yesterday. Right?
Yeah.
This is
the callback.
I mean, no, Leicester, the ultimate up and down. They won the FA Cup 5 years ago. And they got that season, the year after when they were in the Champions League, didn't they get to the
quarterfinal?
Yeah, they did very well.
Yeah, Lineker talks about being at that game with his son as like an all-time memory.
But sure, Claudio was gone early enough in that season, which is also mental. And Bocelli singing to us all that rainy day. And they won the league. What a time, like 10 years ago. And now they're gone to the league.
It's a god. I just said now they're gone.
And they still have recognisable players.
Yeah, but they'll be back. They have a billionaire owner.
That's not necessarily true. This time last year, you just said they'll be back to the Premier League. They got relegated last season to the Champions.
No, it's going to be one of the great redemption stories. They need a Brian Barry Murphy.
Do you think Tottenham will be in League One in 2 years' time?
I don't think Spurs are going to be in League One.
I can't happen.
Would you say that about Leicester?
I still think it's unfortunate for me that Spurs will pull some results out of the bag. I think it's good you pro Spurs Icon of the show.
I won't say pro. We're not pro anything on this show or anti anything. But I like Spurs. I do like.
Yeah. Speaking of Spurs and Leicester, Harry Winks is getting an awful time of it with the Leicester fans. Yeah. Oh my God. He fell out with the fans there a few days ago after a game. He started cursing them out.
Well,
and they've been.
Sometimes they need it. Though,
I don't know if you saw last night. He came on off the bench, and they're clapping. I don't know who he came on for, but they're clapping that player on or off. And as soon as Harry Winks entered the pitch, there was just like a rain of boos. Which
they know their onions, those Leicester fans. They've seen it all.
Yeah, and then they conceded 2 minutes later then as well.
Brady steps down from West Ham. This is Karen Brady. Baroness Karen Brady has stepped down as vice chair of West Ham. She's been there over 16 years, credited with leading the negotiations to secure West Ham's move in 2016 from Upton Park to the 62,500-seat London Stadium. That's the headline on the Times version of that. There's a comment piece from Sam Wallace in the Telegraph, which says, Brady's West Ham legacy is a stadium hated by the fans. Like, all right, thanks, yeah. I mean, should have catapulted West Ham into a situation where they were able to make a huge amount of money from the stadium and invest that in good players, but it hasn't quite worked out for them. They did win a European competition, that third-tier European competition, which the England team shouldn't be in. But anyway, you know, the fans hit the stadium. Surely it's fixable.
I was in that stadium once for a concert. It's pretty good, the concert setup. Yeah. So it's just big.
Who was it?
Sam Fender.
Oh, yeah.
And Olivia Dean.
Luke and Matt. But
it's huge. And obviously you could see the gap between the stand and the pitch. And it's, yeah, I can see why people hate it.
There must be some way of fixing it. There has to be.
Put a bit more seating beside the pitch.
Mm.
Has that ever been done?
Do you want to say something?
No, you go ahead.
The Irish Independent, burn ignoring outside noise around Randall and Munster redundancies. So, Tadhg Byrne, I don't know, was it a scheduled press conference, says the players aren't letting the outside noise get to them. Look, I'm not going to get drawn into any of that stuff. I'm just going to be focused on the games that are coming up. It's an appointment that's been made. He has a very good track record in terms of his coaching ability. We'll be looking forward to seeing what he can bring in terms of his coaching here in Munster. We have such a big game coming up in terms of how big it is for the club. I can't be getting drawn into what's going on with the club outside of what's in front of us as players. I think for me, my focus is solely on Ulster this weekend. I think the whole playing group is focused on that. He did go on to say, that's where our heads are at. There's always going to be noise at the moment. You've got Roger. You've got the redundancies. There's always going to be noise about certain things at any club level. We're leaving that all to one side and all we're doing is focusing on Ulster. And then there was something about negativity. Just want to find the quotes here to do it properly. We're just focusing on ourselves. In that players' meeting that we had, we spoke briefly about outside noise and how we can't let anything distract us. I think this group has done really well in terms of doing that, in terms of not being focused on any of that stuff. There was something specific about negative press and how they've dealt with it. When there's bad press on anything, I'm not stupid. There's going to be bad press at the moment on the club, not just over one thing, but the redundancies. I know someone's going to come up to someone and say, what's going on with Munster? They're in terrible shape. That's straight away a negative comment, isn't it? That can feed into younger lads' heads. But that's not the situation at the moment. That's not the situation we're in. We've been around a lot of bad media in terms of multiple different things. I've been around long enough. It's easier for me to put it to one side and focus on what we want to achieve because that's what's most important for the club, achieving success in the field. Hopefully the younger lads are able to see that now as well. Byrne was asked for Clayton McMillan, who launched a staunch defence of Randall's character last week, had spoken to the squad about the appointment. He called a leadership meeting and they just told us about the appointment. That's about it, yeah. So I just want to go from that to the back page of the Examiner and Donal Lenihan, who has essentially seen it all at Munster through the amateur era to now, and says Munster can't seem to navigate their way out of the storm. Right now, Munster rugby is playing out like a scene from an old Laurel and Hardy comedy sketch. Well, here's another fine mess you've gotten me into, says Hardy. When it comes to our dear province, who's Laurel and who's Hardy?
Yeah.
Sadly, it may be the case that Munster have to hit rock bottom before the recalibration required to change things is fully addressed. This is a conversation we were having last week. Is this as bad as it gets? And maybe, no, it's not, because they go and they beat Benetton and it's like, How far away we are from reaching that point remains to be seen. IRFU executives are examining Munster and the Randall question as a matter of urgency. So this story isn't finished. It'll be a surprise to no one at this stage, given what has emerged, if Munster are looking at alternatives to the New Zealander in the short term. So Donal is suggesting the type of thing that we've been hearing is that the shake-up and the fallout from what's going on at Munster is not over, that there is more to come.
Yeah.
Do you think if Munster keep winning now from this point on, from the Benetton victory on, that this conversation kind of starts dissipating again? Like, they have to lose on the pitch for us to talk about the off-the-pitch issues. They win on the pitch, people start ignoring it. They go to Ulster, play Ulster this coming Saturday. Ulster ravaged by injury.
Yes.
Give us the Ulster injury list there, just for that context you have in front of you.
Yeah, it is extensive. So there's two groups here. The first group is players injured from the Leinster game at the weekend. Angus Bell is out with a foot injury. You'd imagine he's done now for the season.
That bad?
It looked pretty serious, yeah, at the time. And because there's only five, maybe...
Six, seven.
Depending on how many, how far they get in the playoffs in the URC and if they get to a Challenge Cup final, they don't have that many games left. So he could be done for Ulster in general. He'll be back to the Waratahs. Scott Wilson.
The desired response.
Scott Wilson, Tom O'Toole, another two props injured. James Hume, Jude Postlewaith, both out as well. James Hume looked pretty serious as well. And Bryn Ward as well, which I didn't even notice that he was injured in that game. Maybe it was just something they noticed after the game, but he's also out for this weekend. And then the longer term injuries of some of the big players, Nick Timoney, it was expected that he'd be back for this weekend, but he's not. He picked up a hip injury against La Rochelle. James McNamney, he's been out with an ACL injury for a while. Rob Herring, Ballacoon, of course. He had elbow surgery after the Six Nations. He won't be back this season. Rory Maguire as well. Stuart Moore, towards ACL as well. His first training back after coming back from loan from Newcastle. So it's a pretty serious situation for Ulster now, because especially in the front row, they are really, really short of options.
So, taking all that in, Munster win again this weekend. The bad media goes away.
I think people stop talking about it when there are huge problems at a team, like at a club. You know, if you start winning games, people don't feel like they can talk about it, but those problems will actually persist. I'm not saying it's a beneficial thing if Munster lose to Ulster so the conversation can resume, but you will feel the heat of the pressure start to cool down a little bit if results on the pitch start to...
Yeah,
it always comes down to on the pitch. Like, people will turn a blind eye to what's happening off it, for better or for worse. It's a weird thing that Munster have in them. Even this season, like, you see them winning big-ish games. Like, they can do it. Like, they can actually do that. So this isn't like a useless bunch of players. They also have the capitulation in them. They have that extreme. We talk about the theme of the last 2 days of, like, do you feel alive as a fan of this club? I don't know what you feel as a Munster fan now. Probably disillusioned.
Yeah.
With a side plate of win.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Munster fans didn't show up this weekend for the Ulster game. They wouldn't go to the game. Because there's obviously such a big backlash.
With the Randall appointment, yeah. I'd say we know there are a lot of furious people with that. We know it. We had Alan Quinlan on last Friday talking about it, and it was probably the most passionate we've seen Alan Quinlan, certainly in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So the feeling is out there, totally understandably. I'm not 100% sure people will stay away in their droves. I think you're right. I think certain people won't go to the game. But I don't know if you'll notice that much of a difference. It's a weird thing, like, with this. I think when that story breaks and it's live, that 24 to 48 hours afterwards, I think everyone is very much on board. The adrenaline is rushing through people's veins when an announcement like that is made and there's the backlash. Then a few days go on, a few weeks, and maybe they win a game or two. And people start to kind of stop caring that little bit.
Yeah.
I think that if it was a minor controversy, you know, I think that if it was definitely one of those things that is a storm in a teacup, that would be fine. In this case, that's not the situation.
Do you think that they'll unappoint him?
I think that... I'm reading here what Don Lennon has said. How far away we are from hitting rock bottom remains to be seen. IRFU executives are examining Munster and the Randall question as a matter of urgency. He's written that in the paper today.
Yeah.
There's no other way of interpreting that than the contract is being read by the lawyers or a negotiation is underway.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
It'll be a surprise to no one at this stage, given what has emerged, if Munster are looking at alternatives to the New Zealander in the short term. So, and then you have your head coach who made the appointment and forced it through with the support of the chief executive and the director of rugby in it. There's another pointed line in Donal Lennon's piece. Along with McMillan, Munster CEO Ian Flanagan and general manager Ian Costello, a newly created key role for which I'm led to believe there was no formal interview process were the key men in Randall's appointment. It's okay sometimes when you're in an organisation to say, we've got somebody who we really trust, who's got like really excellent experience, who's going to be our director of rugby. That's the person that we want in that role. And okay, we've seen all these fake interview processes in all sports organisations since the year dot, where you run a process and, oh, look, the best person in the world was this guy. You save yourself 30 grand by not hiring a consultant to come in and do all that stuff, and everybody moves on with their lives. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it looked like he was the right man for the job at the point because he had a deep understanding of the pathways of Munster rugby. So
what's not that big a deal?
That he got the job without a formal interview process. I think that like now everything, all the decisions are being made and second-guessed. And to your point about the adrenaline, that works two ways. When everybody's actually aligned, Munster unleashes the fury of Munster and all the pent-up want and desire and history. At the moment, they've no access to that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Look, this could be ground zero in terms of how they feel about themselves when you look 1 year, 2 years down the line. It was like, well, this is probably the lowest point around now. And it's how they correct this situation. But they can go one of two ways here. They can actually go ahead with the appointment and keep him and keep on answering these questions constantly. And every time that Munster lose a game or two in a row, it'll in some form will probably be brought back up in terms of how you're running your organisation. Or they could decide, no, we made a mistake, you will correct it. I don't know if that's necessarily in the Munster DNA of how to deal with things, coming out and saying, I'm sorry about that, we got it wrong.
Yeah. I think something that has flown under the radar with this whole thing as well is that Mike Prendergast is leaving. Like, I know that was news that happened a few weeks before, but the fact that a top coach like that, who's going to coach one of the best attacks in the world now, has just been let leave.
He spoke about that this week.
Yeah,
he's come out and said it.
That's a massive shame. And I think it's a real indictment of where Munster are.
Yeah.
That someone like that feels like they have to leave to get the opportunities that he deserves.
Well,
I get that one, though.
I see both sides.
Potentially the best 10 in the world trusts him to take over his attack.
I get it, but I think that just happens, right? So he went for the job and they gave it to someone else. And now he's like, well, I don't want to be here anymore. I actually think that happens in businesses across the world. I don't think that's that mad. I think you could be right,
I don't think that should happen.
They missed that completely. And now he's come out and said it this week that, what was the word he used? Like, he was incredibly disappointed about what happened.
Yeah.
He's not shying away from that.
I just think Munster have lost so many great coaches and he could potentially be another one.
Yeah, there could be.
There's so many out there that there's probably just haven't blind managed spot to get hold of.
In the organisation, I don't know if there's an echo chamber thing going on there and the people who make the decisions, if they don't actually listen to what happens from the outside world, which sometimes is a really good bit of advice to adhere to, sometimes it's detrimental. And they're probably in the latter part of that. It's a proud organisation and stubbornness sometimes gets in the way of clear decision making.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see who shows up and what the response is. They're obviously going to get behind the players on the pitch. Will they get behind McMillan? Maybe.
I think that's result dependent.
I think the specifics of the case are so well out there and well aired now that, and McMillan went to bat for his guy, that it's a referendum on McMillan as opposed to anything else. And maybe if they win, that gives them a bit more breathing space. And he's done the only thing that he could have done in this circumstance is like, this is on me, you know. Just to play that out, if what Donal Lennon expects happens, then you're going to have a situation where he doesn't have the coach that he wanted working with him next season. And does he feel isolated? And what is the damage in terms of the CEO's role from the IRFU's perspective? And are there further changes coming? I don't know.
I could see them
mess.
I could see them parting ways this summer.
With McMillan.
Yeah, I could see it happening now.
If this,
I think it's, I really do think it's in conjunction with what happened. So on the pitch. Like, if Munster missed out in the top eight, if they finished ninth in the URC.
Yeah, he was already under pressure.
He's under pressure, as, but as I things think were. He'll leave under the guise of it was underperformance on the pitch in the end. But you know, the story is what it actually works out for us here, letting go yeah, because of what happened with Randall. I actually think even if they get top eight, they could still do that and be like, look, I think you've taken this as far as you can go.
Well, I think I wouldn't buy that. I don't think he's had the opportunity to have his own coach take it in. And I think this has been a year getting to know the players and everything. It's a turnaround project now. It's a reclamation thing. They lost a lot of experienced players from last year into this. They've had significant injury issues. He's trying to, we don't exactly know what the playing style is going to be. I just think that there's been a critical error of judgment in trying to appoint this guy in the way that they appointed him without the proper due process, it seems, haven't been run, and whatever due diligence they did haven't been so ineffective. So I think if they part ways, it'll almost more than likely be on his side going, this is a nest of vipers.
It could be mutual.
I'm out of here, lads. This is not what you said. I'd get my own coaching ticket. I wanted this guy. I got him. I went out and I made sure that we were able to get the best person that I thought, and you didn't back me. Or you backed me, but like you didn't have the power to actually
maybe
carry it. Look, this with the fan base.
If they're like Champions Cup semi-finalists, they went third in the URC and the same story is happening, this is probably from their terms, this is unfortunate that this happened, but we're going to continue anyway. This goes hand in hand, which sounds egregious because in one part it's something that's way beyond sport and in the other it's actually on-field performance. But it goes hand in hand.
That's the win-at-all-cost mentality of all fans in all sports, it turns out.
Yeah.
However, you'd have to say that there has been certainly a groundswell of Munster fans saying, I'm not going to renew my season ticket. And that's the Munster fans. And then there are these members of the Commercial Advisory Committee who have also apparently stepped away because of the appointment, it seems. So that's like all levels of Munster rugby, from their financial benefactors at the highest level to the ones who are coming week in, week out and buying the drinks and the scarves and the jerseys and the season tickets. And if everybody is that unhappy from top to bottom, the IRFU must be looking at this as like, this is one of our most important teams in full-blown crisis. And you have to say they haven't been handling this crisis very well at all.
Yeah. It's a mad one as well, because then they go and put 45 points on Benetton away from home. Now look, Benetton aren't world beaters by any stretch, but they're not a bad team this season per se. So that was quite a spirited performance from the Munster players, but they'll need to do that again and again and again this season, because they need all the positivity they can get at this point. And the only place that can really come from right now is probably on the pitch.
We move on to something else?
There's actually loads of comments coming in from what we talked about throughout the show so far. This about Leicester, right? Points deduction plays its part, right? Leicester were favourites to go up this season from the Championship, says Michael Maloney. I still think we're kind of slightly underrating their modern history. Like, Dara, I think you were working here when Chelsea finished, or when Leicester finished back-to-back fifth in the Premier League. And they just missed out in the Champions League. This is how recent all the good stuff was. And then they had that bad season, they went down. Remember, Brendan Rodgers left early and then Dean Smith, your old boy, went in to try and help. You remember this? Anyway, another stat there that Matthew Brennan has sent on to us. Did you see this one? Have you seen of this one?
No.
Leicester had this attacking lineup just 4 years ago, right? Their front six was Madison, Tielemans, Dewsbury Hall, Adamola Luckman, Vardy, and Barnes.
That's good. Might need a couple of sixes in there, but
in 2016 Leicester won the Premier League at 5,000 to 1. In the same year, Bramley finished 15th in the National League. They will now share a league.
Yeah.
Football, bloody hell.
They actually got relegated that season when I started.
So that here. Was okay, so that was the year, the season after, I think it was pretty good, like the world was good for Leicester.
Yeah.
A fair chunk into COVID, life was good for Leicester.
Yeah.
They won the FA Cup in 2021, which I think coincided with their flirting with the Champions League. It was consecutive seasons and they definitely, to an extent, battled the Champions League.
Was that the 2020 FA Cup? Was it the 2021? Was it actually a 2021? Was it summertime?
Yes.
So we were back.
They beat
Project Restart. Was not that not
2020 was the obscure one where it was played late summer,
right?
And in front of nobody. That was the Mikel Arteta one trophy so far.
Okay.
When they beat Chelsea, when your boy was in goal for Arsenal, Emmy. And then Youri Tielemans got the winner for Leicester in the following year's FA Cup final.
Some player.
So in 1920 they finished, 2019-20 they finished fifth. Then they finished fifth the next season, and the season after that they finished eighth.
Oh yeah, so they had a grand season.
Really sustained.
And so did you come the next season?
Well, after that, and then they got relegated from there.
That's unbelievable. Isn't it? So ever since Starr has been here, it's been going terribly. Hmm. Oh, they came back up, didn't they? And then they went back down.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Leicester, right? And we have a former Leicester player imminent.
Yeah.
Just as well.
Off the Ball Breakfast. With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Football on Off the Ball.
Once the fallibility centre sets in, once age starts to catch up with him, once Stephen Hendry's there, Steve Davis rolling back the years is one of the great things in snooker. Just because he was old and, as, you know, to use John's phrase, had exposed his feet of clay.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.